Oh, praise the Lord. Good testimonies today. And don't forget to pray over this list. We have a number of needs. There's always needs. And there's only one that can answer those needs, the Lord Jesus. In His name, those prayer requests will be answered according to God's will. Well, let's grab... Yeah, Raj. Let's grab our hymnals at this time, people. And open up to hymn number 126. William Cowper wrote this incredible hymn of the faith, which speaks about a fountain that's been opened for sin. I'm so thankful for it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 126, and we're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth, people. Yeah. Love that. Yeah. Thank God for it.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinner's blood faded, that blood loses all their guilty stains. Sinner's blood faded, that blood knows all their guilty sins. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power.
Amen!
Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin. Thy glowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die.
Everybody,
and shall be till I die.
Yes, it shall be till I die.
Redeeming blood.
Please be seated. Oh, wow. Great song of the faith right there. I never get tired of singing that one. And that fifth stanza. Listen to this. We didn't sing the fifth stanza. It says, then, in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save, when this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Lies silent in the grave. When this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. He says, when my physical tongue of my body is buried 6 feet under, I'll be singing glory to God in heaven. Amen. Oh, that's so good. I'm so thankful for that, church. Well, at this time, let's, I think we've got everything out of the way. What's next week, folks? What's next week?
Christmas!
Everybody remembers that. Glory to God for it. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, people. And please open up to the book of 1 Corinthians today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I have a message I'd like to preach today that the Lord spoke to mine heart yesterday as I was in prayer and preparation for today's sermon. I noticed something in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 concerning the topic of death. I want to preach you a message today I've entitled, The Day That Death Died. The Day That Death Died. Look with me here as we stand for the reading of God's holy word in honor and respect of it. In 1 Corinthians 15, we begin reading in verse number 20. The apostle by the Holy Spirit writes, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Drop down with me, beloved, same chapter, to verse 54. 54, we read, So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Beloved, I want to preach a message today. The day that death died. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the passage before our eyes today. Oh God, we thank you that you have totally defeated and destroyed the power of death in your resurrection. Oh God, we thank you that you rose victorious over the grave, over the sin, and over death itself, even over the devil. We thank you that you are the eternal conqueror of eternity and that we belong to thee. Thank you, Lord, for that day when you got up from the grave and conquered death. That was the day that death died. Lord, thank you for eternal life, wherein there is no death. Thank you, Lord, for defeating death for us. We pray you give us understanding by your Holy Spirit in these truths through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, beloved, death is a fact, and death is a foe. But death is a defeated foe, I want you to know today. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 20. I said death is a fact to all people, except those who will be raptured one day. But in 1 Samuel, look with me in 1 Samuel chapter number 20. Death is a universal fact of mankind. But I'm so glad that it's been defeated for all those who believe. David put it this way in 1 Samuel chapter number 20. Look with me at verse 3. And David, speaking to Jonathan, David sware, moreover, and said, Thy father, Saul, certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Now notice what David says carefully in verse 3. He says, For all people that are alive on planet Earth, there is just but a single step between them and death. Do you realize that you could take your final breath at any moment, beloved? Do you realize that you could go off into eternity this day? And the most important question of all is, do you know Jesus Christ? Now, notice here in verse 3 that for every single one of us who breathe, death is but just a one step, a final breath, and boom, we're gone. But the good news is that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ defeated death. He destroyed death. Go back to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Do you know that Jesus Christ literally destroyed death when he rose? I'm in my introduction still. But look at verse 25. 15, verse 25 says, "For he, Jesus Christ, must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." I am so thankful. Now listen, all death is unnatural, meaning that death did not exist in the world prior to Genesis chapter 3. There was no death. Death is the root and the fruit of sin. But because Jesus Christ defeated sin on the cross, therefore death has been destroyed and defeated thereby. Do you understand this, beloved? All right, now I want to share with you today three incredible proofs from Scripture that death has been completely, eternally defeated by Jesus Christ as I preach on the topic, the day that death died. The first thing I want to give you is this. Death died first because the resurrection of Jesus Christ defeats death's keeping power. I said the resurrection of Jesus Christ defeats death's keeping power. Now listen carefully, church. Death's keeping power has been completely rendered dead because of the biblical fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, overcoming that power. Now listen, Jesus willingly laid down his life in order to accomplish this very point. Go with me to John chapter 10. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians, we're coming back. But in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it absolutely crystal clear what he did and why. Look with me in John 10. I love this chapter. This chapter is where I got saved on October 3rd in 1986, 31 years ago. Look at this in John chapter 10. It's so powerful, it saved my soul. John chapter 10. Verse 17. Jesus says, "Therefore doth my Father love me." Why? "Because I laid down my life that I might take it again." 18. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus Christ says in verse 18 that they're not crucifying me against my will. I have power to lay my life down in death and to rise again from the dead. Now, folks, you've got to grab hold of this because Jesus Christ did this in order to defeat death's keeping power. Death couldn't hold him down. It tried all that he could. But when Jesus Christ got up from the dead, don't you know the devil began to tremble? Death's keeping power was defeated on that third and glorious day. This clearly implies that that power of Jesus Christ to rise from the dead defeated and destroyed for every single human being through him to not have to suffer death's keeping power. Now, go back to our text in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, look again with me at verse number 20. You'll grab it here. He says, "But now, is Christ risen from the dead?" Folks, listen to me. No man in history did what he did. No human being ever came back from the dead by his own power. Lazarus was raised from the dead by this Messiah. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, notice the wording here in verse 20. Jesus Christ himself is the first fruits. You've got to understand the lingo. First fruits in Scripture always speak only of the beginning of a great harvest more to come. See that? So now look at verse 21. For since by man, what man? Adam, came what? Death. There was no death before chapter 3 of Genesis. See that? By man, Adam, came death. By man, the second Adam, came also the resurrection of the dead. He broke death's keeping power. For at 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Notice the wording, made alive, defeating death's keeping power. Now observe this carefully in verse 22. Jesus Christ is the last Adam. We know that. And just as all those in the first Adam die, so also do all those in the last Adam live forever, excluding the possibility of death. Now realize, dearly beloved, that in a court of law, they will put to death a murderer on the eyewitness testimony of just two people. They'll execute him. Okay? But how many witnesses testified in the Bible that they saw Jesus Christ alive after he rose from the dead? Go with me to verse number 3, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 3. Watch this. But he that, chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, he was dead. And that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen, notice the eyewitness testimony, of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, that's all the apostles. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time. But some are falling asleep. He says, go ask them for yourself if they saw him alive. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, Paul, also as one born out of due time. It's just like this, people. If you went down to Walmart, let's say Raj went down to Walmart here in Manchester, and 500 people saw Raj in Walmart, would you believe the 500 people or one person that might say, no, no way, he wasn't there? 500 to what? You know who you'd believe. Now, the actual resurrection of the physical body is illustrated in this chapter by a seed planted in the ground. The seed dies in order to spring forth in newness of life. It comes up out of the ground with a new life. Look at verse 35, same chapter, verse 35. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? Someone asked the question, how do we resurrect from the dead? And with what body do they come? Look at it. Thou fool, that which thou sowest, plantest, is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And to every seed his own body. Do you see what the Bible likens your physical body to? Somebody tell me. We just read it. A what? A seed. What do you do with a seed? You plant it in the ground. And it grows into something that it wasn't before. You following me? So the soul does not die when we bury you. Your soul does not die. It is with the Lord Jesus awaiting its eternal body. Because there is a continuity of life, beloved, that is within us when we're saved. It never dies. That's why Jesus Go to John chapter 11. As a matter of fact, let me show you this verse. John chapter 11. Jesus Christ is gone to the funeral of Lazarus. Remember that? In John chapter 11, he died. Lazarus died. They buried him. He was in a sepulcher for 4 days. Jesus comes along. Look at verse 26. 25. Jesus saith unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, Lazarus, yet shall he live. And who, watch it, 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you hear what Jesus Christ said to Martha in verse 26? He said, if you're alive, if you're breathing, and you believe on me, I'm your Savior from sin, you will never die. What a statement! Do you realize, beloved, today, that you have eternal life and you cannot die? You can pass from one geographical location to another. You can pass from earth to heaven, but you're not dead. Oh, you've got to grab hold of this. Psalm 139. Watch what David said about it in Psalms 139. I'm so thankful for eternal life today. I've got it. In Psalm 139, look with me at verse 16. 15. My substance, that's his physical body, was not hid from thee when I was made. God made you and me. In secret, your mom's womb. Curiously wrought, that's created, in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes, David's talking to God. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members, body parts, were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. David says, Lord, you knew everything about me. What I would look like, what color eyes I would have, what color hair I would have, how tall I would be, what my disposition, my weight, everything. You knew it all because you created me that way. See that? So if God created our physical body, God will recreate them in a glorified state. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my first point today is this. His resurrection eternally defeats and destroys the keeping power of death. Death can't have you. Why? You've got eternal life. Now, the second thing I want you to see is this. Concerning the day that death died, I want you to notice from Scripture that the rapture of the believer defies death's killing power. The rapture of the believer defies death's killing power. Go with me to 1 Corinthians again. Back to our text. Watch the rapture taking place in chapter 15 here in verse 51. Don't miss this. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul says, by the Holy Ghost, behold, I show you a what? Mystery. The rapture of the church is a mystery to the world. They're going to say that aliens took us. They're going to say that we all drowned at sea. They're going to say we went down in the Bermuda Triangle. They're going to say all kinds of theories of what happened to you and me when we're gone in rapture. Look at it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We, who's the we? Christians, that's right, Miriam. True believers, we shall not all sleep. Now notice the wording for death, physical death, in verse 51. He uses the word sleep. Why? Because Christians don't die. Their body goes to sleep for a little time until it gets glorified, but we don't die. Our soul is with Jesus. Look at it. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He's talking about living believers at the second advent we shall all be changed. These are believers who will not experience physical death of the body. Watch what he says. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Scientists measured that. Twinkling of an eye. It's 0.0006 milliseconds. It's real quick. He says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead, those are Christians that are buried right now in the graveyards, the dead Christians, shall be raised incorruptible, glorified body. And we, who are alive, shall be what? Changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Folks, listen to me. These are Christians who go from a state of physical life to a glorified eternal life, bypassing the grave. Oh, this is so good. 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Ho, 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 ho. We will. Now realize here, church, that the rapture was a sacred secret that was hidden from the Old Testament prophets. Don't get me wrong. The rapture is spoken of throughout the Old Testament a number of times, but it was not understood by those who wrote it and read it. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to see that the Old Testament saints did not understand the rapture of the church. It wasn't for them. That's why God didn't reveal it to them. But he prophesied of it. Read Song of Solomon. Someone's going up in Song of Solomon to be with their beloved. That's the church. That's the bride. Now, look with me here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Paul says how that by revelation, he, that's Jesus Christ, made known unto me the mystery. It's a mystery to the world. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, New Testament prophets, by the Spirit. See that? The Holy Spirit revealed this mystery to Paul. And listen, in Job chapter 19, flip back to the book of Job, chapter 19 of Job. You know that Job is the oldest written book on planet Earth in the history of the world? Job predates the Pentateuch. The man was contemporary with Noah. I mean, he goes way back. Job. Look at chapter 19 for a moment with me. And watch this verse. Job gets it from the Holy Ghost. Job chapter 19, verse number 25. Job says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, second advent. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job says, my physical body, he's an Old Testament saint, so he knew that his physical body would be eaten by worms in the grave. Sorry, ladies, not a pretty picture. But he says, yet, even though this body will be consumed, in my new body, my glorified body, I shall see him in the latter time. You see that? There's coming a resurrection. Why? Death has died. Death has been defeated. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We all know it well. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Of course, it's the rapture passage. And Paul puts it this way very, very clearly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I wonder what he's going to shout. I think I know what he's going to shout. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Come up hither! And we're going up. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, Christians who were buried, shall rise first. Then, notice the progression. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, harpizo, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice the first phase of the second advent. Jesus does not come down to the earth. That's not till the end of the 7-year tribulation. The first phase is the rapture. We go up to him. You see it? Then the tribulation period will commence. Point being this. Those who are alive and remain will bypass physical death. They'll never die. You're going to be clothed with a glorified body, and you're going up. You know, I've had this recurring dream throughout my life, throughout my adult life, I should say. For the past 30 years or so, I have this dream about once a month. I'm flying. Ron's got a kick out of that, but I'm flying. Not with an airplane. I am flying. I have the ability to soar as high as I want. I look down on the earth. I see my house. I see my dog. I see everything. And I can fly. You know what, folks? That dream is not a fantasy. We're going to be flying one day. We're going to fly up yonder to be with the Lord. So, for us who are saved, we are not looking for the Antichrist. We are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Mark chapter 13 before we go to my final point. In Mark, go with me to chapter 13. Watch these words in red, what the Lord Jesus says about it. Mark chapter 13. I love this chapter because just about the entire chapter is red, words in red. That's the Lord Jesus speaking. Amen. Mark 13, look at verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Harold Camping. How many times did false prophet Harold Camping, he's dead now. How many times did he predict the day of the rapture? This is not a second coming touchdown passage. This is a rapture passage. I'm going to show you that. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. How do I know this is a rapture passage and not a second coming passage where he comes down to the earth? Think. It says no man knows the day or the hour. What? Listen to me, folks. Once the peace treaty is signed, Daniel's 70th week begins. The covenant with Antichrist by the Jews in the Middle East brings peace. 7 years to the day from the signing of that covenant, Jesus Christ will touch down on planet Earth. How do I know that? Because the Bible gives us the specific number of days. 1260 plus 1260. Now listen to me. This passage says no man knows the hour of this day that Jesus is speaking of. So it has to be the rapture, not the touchdown of Messiah. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven. The angels don't know when the rapture is taking place. They just obey. Neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed. Watch and pray. Here's another reason I know this isn't the second coming, but the rapture. Somebody's watching for something to occur. Watch. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave it, that's Israel, and gave authority to his servants. And to every man, his work. Right now is working time, people. Serving the Lord. And commanded the porter to watch. That's the Holy Spirit. Watch ye, therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. First phase. At even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. That's spiritually comatose. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So somebody tell me, what is Jesus Christ asking us to watch for here? It's absolutely the rapture, the sound of the trumpet. And how can you watch? Oh, I'm going to go outside with my binoculars and look up in the sky. No. I'll use a telescope. No. Don't do any of that. Serve Jesus Christ. The way we watch for His coming is by serving Him, being faithful in what He's called us to do. This is the state of watching. Secondly, we clearly see that the rapture of the church defeats and destroys death's killing power. Amen? The resurrection defeats death's keeping power. But thirdly, we must see that the reign of Jesus Christ destroys death's kingly power. The reign of Jesus Christ destroys death's kingly power. Look at verse 25 again. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. You're going to like this. Look with me at verse 25. The Bible says, for he, who's the he of verse 25?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Thank you, Raj. He must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now drop down to verse 54. Look at it. 54. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption by rapture, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. He's going to quote from Isaiah. Death is swallowed up in victory. Look at it. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Paul is mocking death. I love it. He says, you can't touch me. Why? It's been defeated. Paul says, hey death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? Where's your keeping power? Where's your killing power? Where is your kingly power? It's been destroyed. Look at verse 55. Where is thy sting? 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Victory over what? Verse 55. Death. Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, prior to the resurrection of our Lord, death had a dominion. Death had a kingly power. Death reigned. You know what it says over there in Romans, around chapter 4, it says, even for those who sinned not after the similitude of Adam, death reigned. It says death reigned from Adam to Moses. Okay? Now, what does that mean? It means that death had, past tense, a kingly dominion, a power to hold those in a state of death. Now, this means that death, capital D, had a legal right to rule over those who died in their sins. But Jesus Christ destroyed that dominion. This is why there is no death to a true Christian. You have eternal life in you. Okay? Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans, flip back to Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned, that's kingly power, from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Him that was to come was the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. He reversed what Adam did. Adam gave death a kingly power. Okay? Jesus Christ stripped death of that power. Now, Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll see it one more time. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look with me at verse 10. He says, "But it's now the gospel, Jesus Christ, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath," watch the wording, "who hath abolished," what? Death. See it? Jesus Christ abolished death. That's destruction, abolishment. "And he hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." He says Jesus Christ did something that no other human being in history could do. He abolished death. Revelation chapter 20. You know Revelation chapter 20. It's the great white throne. After the millennial kingdom, this will occur. But look at verse 14. Look what's going to happen to death. I love this. "And death," this is what death's going down. Watch. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Notice in verse 14, death's ultimate destination, the lake of fire. That's where death is going. Jesus Christ says, "I will put death down into a lake of fire, and death will burn forever." Now, notice here that Jesus Christ totally and entirely destroyed death's kingly reigning power. Now he reigns. Amen. You know, I just thought of another verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go to Hebrews chapter 2 for just a moment. Hebrews, we'll finish up. Hebrews chapter 2. Here's what Jesus Christ did to death.
There you go.
Yeah. He loves that book. Hebrews chapter 2. Watch this. Look at verse 14 very carefully. "For as much then as the children," children of God, "are partakers of flesh and blood," physical body, "he," the Lord Jesus, "also himself likewise took part of the same." Why? Why did Jesus take a physical body? "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." He says Jesus Christ came to destroy death and the devil and to deliver you from fear of death. Let me tell you something, Christian. You have nothing to fear. You get a bad report from the doctor, you've only got 6 months to live. Glory to God, I'm going to heaven. Death, you do not fear death, because there is no death to the Christian. Jesus Christ delivered us from the fear of death. Glory to God. In conclusion, let me say this. Here's the good news. It pays to trust and serve Jesus Christ. Go back to our text, 1 Corinthians 15, and look with me at verse 58. We'll finish up here. Look at verse 58. He says this in closing. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Why, Paul? "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul says in concluding, listen, the day that death died, you became an eternal conqueror through Jesus Christ, who defeated it, who destroyed it. Amen? He's saying in verse 58, you're serving Jesus Christ. You're in church today, not for me, because you love him. Amen? And he says, you're not in church in vain. You're not giving out those gospel tracts in vain. You're not praying for her soul for salvation in vain. You're not visiting in the hospital in vain. Everything you do for Jesus Christ counts. You will be eternally rewarded. But the best news of all is found in verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? Now, but let me make a statement in closing, beloved. Only a true Christian can mock death. Because only a true Christian is exempt from it forever. In closing, when Dr. Samuel Gordon, founder and president of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary for over 42 years, came to his final day on earth, he was overheard uttering these incredible words, and I quote, "Over 70 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. I promised him that if he allowed me, I would serve him all the days of my life. And now, at the last, I joyfully take my flight to glory, to bow before him and worship at his feet. Oh, thank God for this eternal life he's given." He said, "Oh, thank God for this eternal life he's given." As he took his final breath. Beloved, Dr. Gordon understood about the day that death died. What about you? Father in heaven, how we thank you today for the day that death died. How we thank you today that Jesus Christ eternally defeated death. I'm so glad that he defeated death's keeping power. I'm so glad that he defeated death's killing power. And I'm so glad that he defeated death's kingly power. And now, Jesus Christ rules and reigns forevermore. Lord, I am so thankful, Father God, that you have ordained all things. You have appointed everything in the universe and all of eternity. That Jesus Christ, your Son, will be the eternal focal point of heaven. That Jesus Christ, because he alone conquered death, he alone will be worshipped forever. Father, thank you for sending him. And thank you that he was 100% completely successful in his mission. And thank you, Lord, that he's not done. Jesus is coming back again soon and very soon. We're going to see the King. He's going to rapture us up and out of this sin-sick world. There'll be a 7-year tribulation period, and then he'll come down and judge this earth for rejecting his love and his gospel. Father, thank you that we're on the winning side today. We praise you for the day that death died. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll stand for a time of invitation. I'd ask you to open up to hymn 130. Hymn 130 says it all, beloved. Here's how our Savior defeated death and the devil through his blood. Hymn 130, we'll sing first, second, and fourth. Perhaps, I see everyone in church today is saved, but perhaps you've got somebody you want to pray for to be delivered from death's power. Yeah. Let's sing it.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? Death is power in the earth, power in the earth. Could you or evil a victory win? There's a devil power in his blood.
Yes, there is!
There is power, power, the working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, the working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Could you be cleansing to Calvary's side? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Everybody now!
There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
On the fourth.
Service for Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. to say. There's wonderful power in the blood.
Here we go.
There is power,
wonderful
power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonderful power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Woohoo! Yay! Great singing, church. Well, praise the Lord for that wonder-working power of Jesus' blood that defeated death the day that death died. Well, I thought some of you were going to roll the aisles there. The way that gal in the front pew was dancing there. Praise the Lord. That's a holy dance to the Lord. Father, how we thank you today for the joy in the church. How we thank you for the love of the Holy Spirit that is permeating this house of God. And Lord, we thank you that it is such a precious privilege to know that death has died. Death has been defeated. Death has no more sting. Death has no more power. Jesus alone now reigns and rules over our lives. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you delivered us from that culprit, that wicked, nasty, evil item called death. We have been delivered through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless us as we're dismissed. Use us this week, O God. Maybe share this message, this sermon with somebody who needs to hear that death's been defeated. You don't have to die. You can live forever in the presence of Jesus Christ. Father, bless us now. Be with us as we go to our workplaces this week. Use us as your ambassadors in a lost and dying world, O God. Use us for the honor and glory of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.